On him.
Brandela, he's not on yet.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We are going to start with a L'shem Yehud, and we're going to connect to section 28 of Parsha Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary, Pasuk number 311. L'shem Yehud, Kuchabri, Hu, Ishkinte, Bikilu, Urchimu, Tilu, Tilu, Urchimu, Leachda, L'shem, Yodhe, Babavhe, Yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihino, Amadunai Eloheinu, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononei, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononei. Pasuk 311. K1 de eat the ray da awam be stakal behind. Hey, kala the rushing come a see you read. The call of my deep pass me panav for our rushing come a mean. See you ring the call alma by Levi Bray Shamaim Mavadista Kal the Orkad Ma'a the Eat Ata Bea Ubra Shamaim Eti Rote Orka Shama. We are Tach Note Shemaim Thyria. The translation. As the chamber was created, he looked to this chamber and drew figures, namely the Mohim that exists in the entire world. This is why it is written, let all the earth keep silence before him. He desired to create the heavens, which are Zeranpin. What did he do? He looked upon the first light, the first chamber, which is the secret of Abba and Ima, covered himself with it, and created the heavens, as it is written. Who covers himself with light as with a garment? And then, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. And this pasuk is hinting to the four steps of the creative process. This is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I thought we were moving from Hashem using, you know, the letters and that now he's beginning to create the Sefirot. I think the hint of Abba and Ima tells us that's the pasuk of Keter, and not Keter, but Hochma and Bina.
The hint of Abba and Ima is correct, that it's the Sefirot. But the hint is before that, when it talks in terms of light and vessel.
Mm-hmm. So all four steps are there?
Yes.
Okay.
chamber was created, that's a vessel. And he looked into the chamber and drew figures. That's a sephirot. The mohin represents the brains, or the upper three sephirot. And then it's saying, let the earth keep silence before him. Because Abba and Ima, or the brains, the mohin, they don't appear in the physical world. Then he desired to create the heavens, which is their anpin. And what did he do? He looked upon the first light. Well, where is the first light? It's the first day of creation. And he looked on the first chamber. And that is the secret of Abba and Ima, meaning Abba represents light and fulfills the chamber, or Ima, the vessel. And then he covered himself with it and created the heavens by veiling the darkness, which is step three, phase three. So you can see all four phases in the verse. But it's
so the four steps are the four phases, right? You answered my question. That's what I thought the four steps were. Okay.
Yes. The four steps are the four phases.
Thank you.
But what's important to understand about the four phases is that they represent a process, not a fixed step by step. Because all four phases were created not in sequence, but at the same moment. And that paradox is difficult to understand, and people get confused. They think the four phases are the sephirot, are steps. And they're really not steps, although I use the word steps. They're really not steps. They're a process. And the process is seen by us as one step or one phase is separated from the next phase. But that's not really true. The phases are following the process, and they all happen simultaneously as part of the process. Did the tree of life grow step by step?
Okay, tell me again step three, because that's why I asked you where all four steps were there, because I didn't feel step three was there. But understanding your explanation that it's a process, not a sequence, makes sense, but that's what kept me from actually seeing four. To me, I was looking for step three. I couldn't see it. You know, where the vessel responds or the sephirot responds, because it doesn't.
The sentence, he desired to create the heavens. What are the heavens? If you ask most people and say, what are the heavens? They're going to tell you Hachma and Bina. But that's not true. Hachma and Bina do not exist in our world.
Right. Well, I didn't feel that way, because I felt like anytime you've got, you know, it's the spiritual world. It's a world we can't see. It's Keter. It's, you know, with a root on 10.
Keter is even above Hakka and Bina.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But the sentence, he desired to create the heavens. Who is he? He is Hashem, of course. Does he have desires? No. So now let's reflect on that. If he doesn't have desires, Hashem doesn't have desires, who is he? And the answer to that is he is Bina. Because Bina, with its consciousness of I want to share, that step, that process, created the emotions. It created the six-step growth that make up Zeran Din. Or it created all seven sephirot that created Zeran Din and Malchut.
Well, I would have never thought of Bina as he, so that was what I was missing.
And it's very, of course, Bina is not a he, a she. Bina is a she. Yet, the pronouns, in the parasha of of Korah, we actually read a verse on Saturday night that related to the letters of the word he, that we get, that, and it was hey, Vav Aleph, and we learned about the male and female through that discussion. And so the pronouns he can be interchangeable when we're dealing with the spiritual levels. Because everything is always relative. So Bina wanted to be light. It wanted to share, which is the essence of light. Bina is phase two. Phase one is Chachma. Chachma says, reveal me. That's phase one, but at phase one becomes phase two automatically by virtue of the relationship of energy being transferred. Heat, the warmth of the coffee cup. It takes on the warmth of the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Bina took on the nature of what fulfilled it. What filled it up was Hashem. Hashem wants to share. His essence is to share. Bina took on the nature of sharing. So that's phase one and phase two, where they're always connected. Phase one is a vessel, like a coffee cup, that's filled with coffee. So where is phase one and where is phase two separate? Where do I call them two different things? They're always one. They're always united. Now, he, meaning Bina, wants to create the heavens. Well, what are the heavens? The heavens are Zeran Pin. The heavens are the six emotions. The heavens are vessels that will receive the light of Bina. But the light of Bina is not the light of Chachma. And so Bina essentially creates a vessel that no longer has a desire for Chachma, it has a desire for Bina. It has a desire for the light that Bina will share. And that light that Bina will share is less than, it's not as much as, the light that Chachma has. And so relative to Bina, Zeranpin is dark. It's darkness. Obviously, relative to our world, it's light. But relative to Bina, Zeranpin is dark. It's been reduced. It's not as intense energy. Is it becoming a little bit clearer or still muddy?
No, it's better.
So the heavens are created, meaning that these vessels now want what Bina has to share, which is something less than what Chachma is. And he covers himself with the heavens. What happens when you cover yourself with a hooded jacket? You're covering it, you're wearing a garment, we call it a hooded jacket. You're covering your hair, you're covering up. You're making darkness relative to what it was without the garment. Now the verse in Psalm and Tehillim that is being referenced here, 104:2. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Well, it's a description, but in Kabbalah we discuss that what separates Zeranpin and Malchut is a curtain. Now, why isn't it a window? Why isn't it a door? We've had that. We've asked those questions. But the idea of Malchut is what is below the curtain. The curtain lets the wind in, but not all of it. It blocks it to some degree. That's a curtain. So you see all four levels here.
And with a curtain, everything can flow, either up or down.
With a curtain, everything gets regulated. The curtain doesn't let the whole wind in, it lets part of it in. It only lets in a little bit at a time. What do we call the light coming into Malchut? We call it Shefa. But we actually call it Mazel. Dew. Drops of something. Drops of energy. That come in discrete steps. A drop isn't a flow. It's one drop, then another drop, then another drop. What is that regulator? It's the curtain. Any further questions, or should I go on to 312?
I think you can go on.
Istakal limebad al matata avad hekala ochara vi al beya umineya istakal urshim kameya kol almin lutata ubralom ahidikti vahashem. Behechal tacho, chas mi panav kol haaretz, chas mi panav, hei samech, rishim kameya, kol nekudin, dekol alma, Ve'inun shitin v'tchamesh Yehushban Pesamech Shitin inun v'chamesh inun V'kal horishim Kameya kadbera Alma begin kach yekara Kekuchabarechu Lav yihu Elal inun biyadim darcho Hakin babeora Kishot Kikayaot. The translation. He studied how to create the lower world, which is the nukva of Zeranpin, that needs the light of Hakma, which is not received from the first chamber. So he created another chamber and entered to it. And from inside he looked out and drew in front of himself all the worlds that are below, namely all the quantity of mohin that they require. And he created them. Therefore it is written, but Hashem is in his holy chamber. Let all the earth keep silence. The Hebrew word is heisamech, has, before him. Chas, hey samach, is recorded before him, which means that the numerical value of hey and samach is drawn before him, which is the number of all the points, which are the sephirot that exist in every world, which is the nukva, and they are 65 points, a number equivalent to the numerical value of hey samach. 60 are the six sephirot, each of which includes 10, and 5 are half of Malchut. She lacks the last 5, those from the chest downward. He recorded before him these 65 points of the Nukva in order to bestow on her his abundance when he created the world, which is the Nukva. For this reason, the glory of the Holy One, blessed be He, namely the Shekinah, is destined only to those who know His ways and go along them in a true manner, as is proper. By commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the Pasuk is clear as written. There are 5 aspects of the Nukva concealed in Yesod, waiting for individuals to complete their tikkun. This is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I just thought it was amazing the way the mantra with the hay and the psalmic supported the points, you know. I mean, we know it. That's what the letters do.
We're always told that Malchut is the physical world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here we're being told something else. We're being told that the physical world is the 5 missing parts of Malchut. That there's a Sephirah called Malchut that exists above the physical world. And it's given a metaphor of from the chest up is Malchut, and from the chest down is the physical world. From the chest up is the partsuf of Leah. Leah is not 10, she's incomplete, according to this pasuk. Rachel is from the chest down. She's also 5, but they're not her own. remember, she only had two children, two boys. And then and that was at the end of her life as they were returning to Israel. I don't remember if Joseph was the last child before they returned to Israel, or whether Joseph, there were children from the maidens that were after Joseph. I don't remember what the Torah said about that. But even if the Torah listed them afterwards, we know that the Torah is not written chronologically, so it's quite possible that Joseph was the last child conceived out of the land of Israel, and Benjamin was the first child conceived in the land of Israel. And what's amazing to me is how all of this gets revealed through Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Because if you try and read this pasuk without those comments, you're not going to see anything of what he's telling us.
Well, as soon as he started naming the sephirot, you knew to multiply 6 times 10. You know, you saw where the 60
right.
came in with some, you know, so that did help.
Of course.
But I don't think a difference between mikvah and malkut as being separated like that. But I can see it when you explain it as Leah and Rachel. And I think maybe Joseph might have been the last one, because remember on one of her pregnancies, and I think it was the last one, the Midrash says that the sex of the child changed to a girl, so that, you know, so it would be Dina, because
right.
Leah knew that Raquel would have another son, so we will have to check that. Whenever they're saying, let all the earth keep silent, is that because they're trying to let us see Hashem being in the spiritual world in regards to the language of branches and, you know, separating spiritual world from them? From the physical world. You know, it's like that's the hidden, the three hidden.
The three mental sephirot are concealed.
Right. Is that the meaning to let all the earth keep silent? It's showing the distinction there between the spiritual world and the physical world? Because they've repeated that verse already now a couple of times.
Well, look at the verse. It says, therefore it is written, but Hashem
mm-hmm.
is in his holy chamber. Okay, Hashem, what is Hashem? Now, I know we can't answer that question, but the essence is, if Hashem is in his holy chamber, that implies that he is fulfilling the vessel. That Hashem represents light and goodness, and is fulfilling the vessel called the holy chamber. Then he's saying, let all the earth keep silence. He's separating between the spiritual and the physical, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the word that is being translated as silence is hesamach. So you're reading the English, but it's really coded. It's telling us that Adonai is different than Hashem. We're taught to pronounce Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei as Adonai, and that's the 65.
Well, knowing that Tzamuk means support, and knowing that there's an upper he and a lower he. And I just could see the psalmist supporting the two, you know, the if you want to say separation, but they're not separated, with the two hays, one for the upper spiritual world and one for the physical world. And the psalmist is there to support, almost like what would we say, the vav, like you sowed. Not you sowed, but...
No, you're right. It is the vav. So
oh, this is heavy.
It's enlightening. I wouldn't call it heavy.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Hannah.
No, I'm just saying it's such a long paragraph, and when they're long paragraphs, you've got to take them bits and pieces, and then you have to try to put the bits and pieces together because you see certain points. But you're
correct.
You know, you always said you're such a great help.
And then I always tell you to read first with Rabbi Ashlag's comments so you don't get off it onto a track. But then read it again without his comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we did that last week, and it was really an eye-opener, I thought.
Right.
It wasn't something
right.
I used to do it.
This one would be.
I can see. Mm-hmm.
We don't have the time to do it for this one today, but it's something you should do because you're going to get through with reading it and saying, what did he say?
Well, I'm glad he pointed out she lacks the last five because when you first said what you did about the difference between Leah and Rachel and their children, I guess when we read it the first time, I didn't really catch it.
The important thing is whether you catch it the first time or it comes to you at the 100th time. What's important mm-hmm. is to bring all the parts of the Kabbalah, all the aspects that you've been taught, bring it to bear on every verse. Because in each of the verses have all the aspects, we just don't always recognize them. And if you don't strive to bring them, you'll never get to the bottom and really recognize how they're there. And that's why this study is so long. I mean, you know, we're doing, you know, at most two verses in a half hour and really more like 40, 45 minutes. And, you know, most of the weeks we're only getting one verse because it's that much material as we get to the end of Lech Lecha. And think back, what is the end of Lech Lecha? This is as it's coming to the end of Abraham's life and he's moving towards the birth of Isaac. Now, what does that
mean? And we're still with Moses, and they're meeting with Rabbi Elazar. We've got to keep that in mind, too. Remember?
Absolutely. What Sefirah would you put Rabbi Elazar in? Remember, there are 10 rabbis that Rabbi Shimon is teaching, including himself. Where would you put Rabbi Elazar? Where would you put Rabbi Abba? Where would you put Rabbi Chaya? I've asked that just barely from time to time, but I've never really you know, focused on it for you to start to think that through. Because until you are able to recognize what Sephirah is being discussed within the Zohar by knowing which name goes with which Sephirah.
So I think we're just getting the parsus down, you know, without having to look at the glyph at least. So that's some progress. I never thought about the actual rabbis, though.
What do you know about Rabbi Abba? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, what we know about Rabbi Abba comes from the night that Rabbi Shimon dies. We know that Rabbi Shimon told Rabbi Abba, you're going to have a long life, and I want you to write down my teachings. So Rabbi Abba lived, the estimate is 600 plus years, and he wrote down the Zohar. Now, where would you, with that information, where do you put Rabbi Abba?
Oh, way up there at Hotma, at least. And probably
some people say it's Hotma. Some people say it's Hotma. But now you have to say, where do I put Rabbi Elazar? He's also in the mental area. Is he in Bina or is he in Chesed? Or does he belong in Hachma and Rabbi Abba belongs in Bina, because writing down means a level below Hachma. It means the level of understanding.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not giving you the answer. I'm asking questions for you to recognize what, you know, because both can be right.
Well, because they're always in unity.
Remember, Hachma and Bina never separate.
Right. That's what I just said. They're always in unity.
So if you see a verse in the Zohar that has Rabbi Elazar but does not have Rabbi Abba, what is it telling you? It's telling you that in that verse, Rabbi Elazar is probably Bina, because he's explaining. All the time Rabbi Shimon says to him, Rabbi Elazar, teach us something. Stand up and tell us new words of Torah. Sometimes he declines and says to Rabbi Shimon, you say it. And at other times, he does stand up and teach.
But I think both of them had misinterpreted the level of Rabbi Akiva, too. That was what I was trying to think of. And when you were asking, you know, which stuff you wrote, when Rabbi Akiva was really on a high level, but the others didn't see it at first. You know, so that was a puzzle for me. Mm-hmm.
It still is a puzzle for me. I haven't resolved with my own head what Sephirah goes. You know, my interpretation of Rabbi Shia representing life is he's on the right column. He's either Chesed or he's Netzach. He's eternal victory. Representing life. But then there'll be times when I'll say to myself, no, it could be Dot. I haven't settled on where he belongs.
Well, it's probably whatever discussion is going on and who's doing the talking. You know, maybe you go from one Sephiroth to another depending on what situation is being discussed and what topic is being discussed and who's talking.
you know, who's doing
and that's
the teaching,
why it's
who's
always
doing
it. Relative. It's helpful for you to remember it's relative and then think that through. What am I talking about relative?
Okay, so this is the end of a chapter, so we probably could make an educated guess for this chapter.
You didn't have all 10 expressed. You didn't have all 10 rabbis expressed in this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
You have Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiya. You have the other man. You have Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Shimon. So you have 5. But the other, Rabbi Yossi and 4 others are not mentioned.
Well, I wonder, since they give Rabbi Yossi so many times, that if it's Yossi HaGelagi, that one day he would be the Mashiach, then I would think that in that context or in that frame of reference, that he would be of Malkut. But I think, again, it goes back to what are you discussing and which period of time. And
correct.
Something to think about.
That is correct. And you only have 300 more years to think about it.
Oh, I hope you're right. But I want to be able to walk just those 300 years.
You will.
Oh.
We will do this again tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll all have a meeting and we'll speak about the Yarim tonight. Take care.
Okay. All right. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.